Going to transition into the message. But actually, you please remain standing as we're about to open God's word. We were talking about Holy Spirit, would you come? We were talking about in the song how Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. He would send his Spirit. And we're going to actually read from the passage where that happens. It's from Acts 2, where Pentecost happens, where the Spirit is poured out on all believers. And disciples, they go into the streets. Disciples now turned apostles. They're now sent ones. They're apostles, and they're beginning preaching in the streets. And then there's this question that comes up, what's happening? And Peter opens his mouth and he quotes from Joel 2. And he says this, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. You may be seated. Today is a little bit of a different Sunday than other Sundays. Not because the clock changed. But it's because we're calling this a Community Sunday. We just had this whole series. We're rounding it off today, the Community Series, with the community practice that all of our discipleship groups are going through. So we've been talking about community. And after the summer, with the leadership team, we're discussing that it would be so cool if we'd once a month just do a Sunday a little bit different. Once a month, we do a Sunday with mostly prayer and worship. Or if once a month we do a service that's more like interactive. I don't know if they wanted me to preach less or what it was. Maybe that too. But we some of the things that we do in the summer when it's a little bit calmer, when we do things a little bit differently, just for the fun of it, like the analysis was like, hey, this is really powerful. Let's do this more often. So today is one of those Community Sundays. It's going to be a shorter message, hallelujah, and also because it was fall break this week, and I had a little less time on my hands, and we're going to break during the message, kind of in between, for a 10-minute conversation with somebody else, so it's going to be interactive. Is that going to be fun? Are you all excited about that? Not everybody's excited about that. I hope that my message will kind of warm you up for that and that you will get excited, but there's no obligation. You don't have to participate in the interactive part, but it's going to take some time. So I don't know if you can follow Formula One while you're not engaged with that part or whatever. Tell me how Max is doing. But I hope you will enjoy that. I hope you will enjoy it. But I'm going to work my way to it. So we've been talking about being a community. We've been especially focusing, of course, on being an international community. I mean, we're here with people from all over the world, and we're in the city, and we're speaking, well, one language. For some of you, it's your second. Some of you, your third. For some of you, you're privileged enough that English is your first language. But we're coming together in this as an international community, and there's a great testimony to that, but there's also some great challenges to that. But there's a beauty to this community. Now, today, I want to talk about something else, because we're not only an international community, we're also an intergenerational community. We're a community consisting of people from many different generations. And that's also important to acknowledge, and it's important to address. Because I think in our generationally very disconnected world, we have this really beautiful opportunity to form a generationally connected community. And I think it's fair to say that, especially in our last century, there's this generational gap that's forming. In Dutch, we would talk about a generational chasm, even. Like, it's a chasm. You can almost not overcome it. The world is changing so fast that it just so quickly seems like different generations are living in sort of parallel universes. Like, we speak different languages, we have different worldviews, we have different habits, we have different rules, the different logic sometimes. And we don't always understand each other. Like, oh, youth these days, like, are they are they ever going to grow up? And we don't always appreciate the other. Okay, boomer. The question we're asking today is, what is the culture of the kingdom? What is the culture of the kingdom? And here in this church, we are not only people from many different cultural backgrounds, from different nations. We're also here people from different generations. And the demographics of our church are a little bit odd, I will admit. I would think that our 20 to 30s are slightly overrepresented, and our 50 or 60 plus group is slightly underrepresented. So we have to deal with that. We have a lot of kids. We're going to be talking about our kids later on today as well. But we are a multi-generational community, and it's important to talk about that. And on this Pentecost Sunday, after the 120 in the upper room receive the Holy Spirit, they go out on the streets. Peter explains what is happening, and he's using this prophecy from Joel to do so. The Holy Spirit poured out on all flesh, men, women, free, slave, old, and young. And then what happens? And it's summarized in these three lines. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And it's talking about men. And usually when the Bible talks about men, it's talking about everybody. So men and women. It's this beautiful picture of the intergenerational aspect of the community of the Spirit, including children, including young people, including old people. Just imagine a church where the older people are dreaming of what God is going to do next. They're dreaming about what God is going to do next. Maybe they won't even see it with their own eyes in their lifetime, but they're dreaming about what the Lord would do next. Imagine a church where young men and women carry vision and passion for what the Lord might do through them. Imagine a church where from the mouths of children there are prophetic words. Isn't that exciting? This passage, these three lines, carry such a potent vision for an intergenerational community where everyone is filled with the Spirit and everyone partners with the Spirit to see God's kingdom come in our time. And so in this, again, shorter message, we're going to explore three keys to being a generationally connected community. And there's three keys to that. There's honoring the elderly, honoring those who are older, giving space to those who are young, and having faith for our children. So first, an intergenerational community honors those who've come before, honors those who are older. I think this is such an important biblical principle that we always honor those who've come before us. In a healthy church community, the young have an attitude, a disposition of honor and thankfulness to those who are older, to those who've gone before them. In a healthy church community, the young honor and appreciate them, and they're thirsty for the wisdom that the older people carry. And I think in our individualistic world, younger generations, especially younger generations that have grown up in wealth, do not often express appreciation for the efforts of the older generations and how they provided it. A generationally connected community, the basic attitude towards older people is appreciation, is honor, is care. But when there's generationally disconnectedness in the setting of our world, you see youth more prone to entitlement and to rebellion and to neglecting the elder people. When the Apostle Paul writes to his protege, young Timothy, about pastorally sensitive matters and whatnot, he advises him to speak to older men as he would to his own father. It says, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, in all purity. Isn't it special that even in the Ten Commandments, you know, there's do not murder, there's worship the Lord your God alone and honor your father and your mother. Isn't it fun that it's in the same sort of Ten Commandments? Do not murder and honor your father and your mother. God kind of weaved it into the fabric of human life that we would honor those who've come before us. It's a funny thing. Something happened to me when this is almost 9 years ago, when I first held my daughter. She was just born in the first week. I would hold her and just be so thankful. And I realized, it's almost instantly that this happened, that I love my parents more. Because I remembered how they had helped me. Like I knew that they had helped me with the same love and the same tenderness as I was in that moment, my own daughter. There's something to honoring your parents, realizing that what they've done for you, realizing who they are. And every generation makes mistakes. And I often say, not everyone's gray hair is also a crown of wisdom. But the basic attitude of the young towards the older people in a community that carries the name of Jesus is one of honor and one of eagerness to learn. Let's move on to point number two. In an intergenerational community, in the name of Jesus, there needs to be space and there needs to be support for the young. For young men and young women to have vision and to carry passion. There needs to be space and there needs to be support to carry that out. And I think there's so many church contexts where there is such a lack of space, and it's this setting of like, just wait your turn. And by the time your turn comes, all your vision has leaked out and there's nothing left anymore. We don't want to be that church. We are in that church. When you look at the great heroes of the faith in the stories of the Bible, so many were still very young when God called them and when God used them in mighty ways. David was only a teenager when he was anointed king and when he defeated Goliath. Daniel was a very young man when he was taken to Babylon and was standing up to against the oppression, against kind of like he was this young man of faith. And there's many other names that come to mind. Josiah, Gideon, Jeremiah, the 12 disciples were quite young. Timothy was quite young. There's some young women that were used in mighty ways. Esther, Mary, the mother of Jesus, very young. Jesus himself was 30 when he began his public ministry, which is something that I consider now as young. Young men and young women do not only need space. They also need support. Vision and passion, it's great. But without wisdom, it can lead to a lot of mistakes and disappointments. And so I believe that young men and young women do not only need to hear, yes, you can do it. Yes, you can do it. It sounds empowering, but it is very disempowering when it doesn't come along with, and here's some great advice on how to do it. Here's some wisdom. Here's what I've learned over the years. If you ever need help, if you ever need support, I'm there for you. I'm going to be praying for you as you are going to do it. There's got to be more than, yes, you can do it. There shouldn't only be space, there should also be support. See how short my message is? We're already way beyond halfway. So, What we're going to do, I'm going to ask you to move around and find somebody to talk to that is at least 10 years older or younger than you. And I don't know if we're going to run out of people. And if you have to settle for 5 years difference, I'm going to ask you to find someone that's either 10 years older or younger than you. And I'm going to give you some instructions in a second. I'm going to time about 10 minutes. This is actually going to work out perfectly. I want a younger person in the conversation to start with asking the older person. It doesn't mean that you're old. an older person in a conversation start off with, how has your relationship with God developed through the years? And then just shut up and listen. And then ask a little bit more, what is a dream that you might have for the kingdom to break through? See, the older people have the dreams. And then after 5 minutes, we're going to swap that around. And then the older can ask the young, who is Jesus for you? And then what is the vision or the passion that you carry for the kingdom to break through? Now, quickly, I don't know you all. So some of you are very wise older people, and some of you maybe a little less so. Some of you are young and passionate and have a great heart for the kingdom, and some of you might be here and you're like, I don't know Jesus. I just came to church for the first time. I love that. So it's just about having a conversation. Just be honest about where you are. Yeah. And just discover someone that you don't know that's also in this church, and you're just going to hear from them. So if you don't walk with Jesus, just say that and just say what brought you to church and what you think about it so far and all that. Yeah. So there's freedom in this conversation. It's just going to be fun. Okay. 5 minutes, the younger asking the older. And then 5 minutes, the older asking the younger. I'm going to time it for you. I'm going to give you a warning, yeah? There's more message that I want to get to. And we also are going to transition we're going to shift our focus towards the children. So I want to kind of talk a little bit about that even from the passage. And then we're going to give the children... we're going to welcome the children in a little bit earlier than normally. And I want to focus our response time on blessing the children, on praying for the children. So that's what we're going to be doing. So yeah, you can stay where you were sitting or move back to where your stuff is or where your friends are or where your spouse is or whatever. Good. I'm going to give a quick moment for that. Thanks, everyone. You did so well. Who was extremely uncomfortable in the conversation? See, nobody. Okay, that's cheating a little bit. I'm sorry to push you out of your comfort zone today, but I'm not sorry because this is good. This is what it means to be a community, getting to know some new people. I hope the conversation was valuable. It was slightly too quick, perhaps. But maybe you made a new friend, maybe it's something that continue, who knows. Okay, we're going to shift our focus towards the children, because the passage was talking about older men with dreams, younger men with vision, with passion, and children, your sons and your daughters, prophesying. So the culture of God's kingdom that we hope to embrace, that we hope to resemble, the culture of God's kingdom has this great vision for children. And the vision I believe that a church needs to have for their children is not that they will still come to church by the time they're 16. That's way too small a vision. The vision that we need to carry as a church community for our children is that by the time that they're 16, they're not just still in church. They are radical Jesus followers ready to change the world. Amen? That's the type of church I want us to be. Now, by the way, however good a church is doing, however good a family is doing as raising their kids, there's no guarantees that these things will happen, but you can increase the odds. And so I want us to be a church that has great faith for the children, even faith that they will prophesy. How exciting would that be that our children begin to prophesy? Faith for the children is that they're becoming passionate followers of Jesus, ready to partner with the Spirit, ready to see the kingdom of God break through in this world. When the Spirit falls on all flesh, the children do not receive a junior Holy Spirit. They receive the same Holy Spirit that resides in you and in me. And this is why it's very likely that the most important ministry in the church, capital C, is actually one of the most neglected ministries in the church, capital C. Kids ministry needs to be a high priority. And so also in our church, I'm going to share briefly our vision statement for our kids ministry. Vineyard Kids aims to strengthen and inspire families to put Jesus at the center of their home and be intentional about raising up the children as devoted followers of Jesus. See, our vision for our children's ministry is not to have an entertaining program for our kids while we're having a good time here, and that they're happy and healthy and, you know, not hurt or anything. Our vision is much bigger. We want to see even more than our children. We want to see healthy families where Jesus is at the center. That's what we want to strengthen. That's what we have vision for. Vineyard Kids is an environment where kids can learn about faith, make friends for life. But more than having a good time on a Sunday afternoon, we believe that Vineyard Kids is an integral part of the church community. It is much more than a kids program. It's a place where parents and volunteers gather together around the kids to love them and to serve them and to teach them in the way of Jesus. This is why we also invite every parent to kind of together form the core of Vineyard Kids. It's not at the exclusion of others. We need the help of others as well. But to together have this sense of ownership and to together form the core of our kids' ministry. Because Vineyard Kids needs to be a place where children can grow in their relationship with God and where parents can grow in their capacity to raise disciples. Even if you don't have a calling for kids' ministry as a parent, you're always called as a parent, whether you like it or not. And I think that the same, let's say, the same muscles that you need, the same strengths that you need, the same capacity that you need to run a kids' afternoon, a kids' program, to translate what you believe into the lives and into the language of children, those same skills you need at home as well, just a sort of stretched version of that. So it's like when you participate as a parent in Vineyard Kids, it's like you're training, you're stretching those muscles, the same muscles that you need back home anyway as well. We believe being involved with Vineyard Kids stretches parents, helps them to grow in their capacity to raise their children. As the saying goes, it takes a village. Well, we believe that as a church community, we are that village. And together we want to see our kids grow up as followers of Jesus. Lastly, we recognize that most of the growing and the learning happens actually in the home and not on this Sunday afternoon. And so our vision for Vineyard Kids is to come alongside with families and strengthen what happens in the home. And this is why, besides seeing parents involved with Vineyard Kids, we also seek to connect what happens in Vineyard Kids to the Sunday service and to the conversations they have at home. A church always needs to have a greater vision than resources. And that's certainly also true for our kids' ministry. So we might have a great vision for Vineyard Kids, but it doesn't mean that that's the reality right now. When it comes to our volunteer capacity, it's certainly not the case yet. Every time we raise more volunteers, the kids' ministry also grows, and then we again have a lack of volunteers. So it's beautiful how these things work. So if some of what I said hit home for you as a parent, as a grandparent, as a young adult, here's my invitation to come alongside and also pour some of your time and some of your effort into our kids' ministry. Our kids' ministry runs bilingually, so it doesn't matter if you do speak Dutch or not. You can be involved with Vineyard Kids, and we'd love for you to be involved with Vineyard Kids. We want to make this a higher priority in our church. So speaking of that, we're going to invite our kids to come back into the room. I don't know where they are now. I think they're in their own rooms. I said 3:30, it's almost 3:30. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna invite our kids to come back in, and I wanna do response time for them. So we're gonna invite the kids to find someone to pray for them. So actually, if the prayer team can already kinda line up, some of them here, some in the back, because some of the kids might be a little bit afraid to come to the front. Yeah, and if you're in the kids team, you're welcome to join this time and be part of the prayer ministry for today. maybe that would be fun. Some of the kids team. Yes. Super. Yes. Yeah, so, and usually we pray with two people for one. Today we're going to pray with one person for one. Yeah. So we can, because I think a lot of kids are going to come for prayer. And also, many of the parents will come along so they can translate for you, because most of you guys only speak English. And then, yay. So, today's messy Sunday. Next week is going to be a lot more orderly. Yeah. Just so you know, if you're new in the church and you're thinking about coming again, next week's going to be a lot more orderly. So I want to ask the kids, I'm also going to do this a little bit in Dutch, yeah? Dus de kinderen, jullie mogen naar iemand toe gaan als jullie willen van het gebedsteam. En die gaan dan voor jou bidden. Die gaan een gebed voor jou bidden. So you can find someone who is in the prayer team. And then, thanks, Ernest. And they're going to be praying over you. Let me just share this quick story. When I was about 10 years old, I was at a kids' camp, and we had this time of ministry prayer. And in that prayer that I received when I was 10 years old, that's when I had my first calling experience, where someone was speaking very basic words of confirmation over me, you know, saying, I believe God has a great plan for your life. And my response was, yes, I know. Like, I know. This is something special that God wants to do through me. It's when I was 10 years old, and I just believe that today some of our kids are going to have a similar experience. Some of them are going to be way too small to really understand. Here's the older ones. Some of them are going to be way too young to understand what's being prayed over them, but some of them are going to be able to understand, and it's going to be a seed that will come to fruition at a later time. Okay. Jullie mogen iemand vinden uit het gebedsteam. Die gaat voor jullie bidden. Misschien dat een van jullie ouders ook mee wil komen om eventjes te vertalen. Maybe I'm going to lead a few more parents to also translate. I'm going to be one of them. Okay, we're going to see how this goes. Stick around. Blijf eventjes wachten totdat er iemand voor jullie kan bidden. We gaan proberen dat er ook vertaling voor jullie is, ja? Okay, we're going to do this. You can all pray along. We're going to sing along. We're going to sing the blessing. So that's a beautiful way to participate in this moment. Super.